T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the Rob Brown Show. This week, not hosted by Rob Brown. I am Dan Scott. I'll be filling in all week long from noon to 3 here on Rob's show on ESPN Upstate. Hanging out with you today from my office, which is the radio broadcast booth here on the campus of Furman University, overlooking Paladin Stadium out towards the gorgeous view I have of Paris Mountain. It is a Chamber of Commerce type day. If you can have a Chamber of Commerce Monday, and Lonzo, I believe that would be in question, especially if you're a fan of a couple of our flagship football programs in the state of South Carolina today. But how are you, sir?
I'm good. And you know, if your football team is not doing well, chances are, if you're listening to us, they aren't. At least you have the weather. It's a pretty day outside.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, and I have maybe a little different perspective on things because time and age will do that to you. There are bigger things in the world to worry about than what transpired in Raleigh, North Carolina on Saturday night, or in Columbia, South Carolina, or wherever the Gamecocks in Kentucky played that game on Saturday afternoon. But I also understand that this is part of what we do. It's how I make my living as the play-by-play broadcaster and director of broadcasting at Furman University. I have also, as we have talked about before, done this particular job on a daily basis for over a decade. So I get it. I understand our role in society. I just hope that with that experience and with that age and with a little better perspective, that maybe I can not, you know, we don't want to avoid any of the issues out there, because I'll speak as bluntly about them as possible. But just a reminder that it is a gorgeous day. It is a beautiful day. We've had a string of them since about Wednesday of last week. And there are some other things going on in the world that just when you think that your particular world may be coming to an end because your Clemson Tigers may not be playing in the college football championship this year, there are some other things to worry about that are bigger than the world of college football. I know that's a shock to some people. I get that.
You're very optimistic by saying may not.
Well, you know, again, I'm trying to allow other people to benefit from the experience that I have, because you can get caught up in this business or any other business and get your blinders on, as you well know, and it can become all-consuming, and you can really lose perspective on things. I hope that I've gotten beyond that. I hope. I guess we will find out by the time this week is done. And when I filled in for Rob a week ago this previous Friday on the one day that he was out, or the one day that I could fill in for him, you remember that we had, I think there were 7 messages sent to the text line, and 6 of them were positive as far as the job that they thought I was doing in this chair. And we said at that time, that is kind of the, you know, the honeymoon phase. It's a one-day thing. The true test will be when we get to about Wednesday of this week, when I'm doing it every day, Monday through Friday. And let's see what the feedback is then. Because I promise you, while I do have a bit of a different perspective on things, that does not mean that I am short on opinions about things. And we are going to sprinkle some of those in, a few soapbox moments as we go through this week, filling in for Rob Brown, and then we'll get to see if I get to do it again. I can tell you that we've been working on guests all week, and today we've got a really, really good lineup for you. And the timing of the first guest is going to seem a little strange, but that's because it's the only time that he could join us. But the very next segment we do, we will visit with national broadcaster Dave Sims, who is the voice of the Seattle Mariners. He does the Basketball and Beyond radio show on Sirius XM with Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski. He has done that for years. He has been a major, major guy on the broadcast scene for a long time. And again, with all the college football stuff going on, it's a kind of an odd place to put Dave on this Monday, but it's the only time he could do it. But I promise you, it's going to get better from a football standpoint after that, because when we get to hour number two, Tim Brando will join us at the top of the hour. Fox Sports, college football, college basketball broadcaster, been doing it for a long time. And he has a unique view on the world of college football. While many people are wringing their hands and talking about the doom and gloom of college football, Tim Brando is one who thinks that the sport is just fine. Thank you very much. We'll talk to him about that. Coming up also in hour number two, we'll visit with Jamie Chadwell. He is the head coach of the 16th-ranked Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, and by record and by ranking, the best college football team in the state of South Carolina. And at the top of hour number three, Daniel Shirley from The Athletic will join us, and we'll talk about a little bit of a bigger picture from a college football standpoint, kind of focused on the Southeastern Conference, but a little bit of a bigger picture with Daniel. And then I hesitate to mention his name, but I'm going to, on faith that if it doesn't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow. And it's not on your run sheet, Lonzo, because I don't have an official confirmation, but I mentioned in the tease that I put out online that I was working on a Ryder Cup surprise. And it just depends on his schedule today, because he's traveling after doing a national radio show. But if he gets where he's going in time, two-time Ryder Cup member Brad Faxon is going to try to join us probably in hour number three. And I'm looking forward to talking to him about that experience, because, of course, we know that the U.S. just beat the pants off of, or I guess I should say the knickers, off of Europe this weekend in the Ryder Cup, outpointing them 19-9. So hopefully it'll be today. If not today, I think I'm confident that we'll be able to get Brad on in the next day or two, but I'm hoping that it's going to be this afternoon so we can stay as timely as possible with it. So that's our guest lineup and a possible additional guest by the time we get through today. And then, of course, we're going to spend some time talking about Clemson and North Carolina State and the continued struggles that Clemson is having on the offensive side, and now you throw in some injuries to go on top of it on both sides of the ball, and how fans are reacting, and what Dabo Swinney had to say in his teleconference with the Clemson media yesterday, which there were some very, very poignant comments that I thought that he made that are worth talking about a little bit. South Carolina struggling offensively in a mighty way in a 16-10 loss to the University of Kentucky. How about Kentucky I believe in four games, they are minus eight in the turnover ratio, and they're 4-0. I mean, that flies in the face of every metric you can lay down about how to be a successful football team. But Mark Stoops has, if he's done nothing else in his time in Lexington, Kentucky, he has given that football program the identity of a tough, defensive-minded, grind-it-out, smack-you-around type of program, and they get by with what they can do offensively. And right now, they're getting by, despite that incredible deficit in the turnover margin, and they're sitting there at 4-0. We'll also talk about the polls. Clemson dropping to number 25 in the poll, and some people are asking why, the AP poll anyway, and why are they even ranked? And why is a team like Texas unranked? And is this more fodder for why even have a preseason poll, especially now, since the only one that matters is the college football playoff rankings that will come out beginning later in the season? I think it matters because fans and talk show hosts need to have something to talk about, something to complain about, something to wring their hands about. Without these polls, I think we would be missing something. Whether you like them or not, I think we would be missing something in the dynamic of being a fan and to a certain degree, a talk show host or a member of the media in the dynamic that is college football. I think it's become ingrained in the very fabric of the game. It's an integral part of the game. So we'll talk about the polls a little bit. There also, over the weekend, were a couple of really horrendous referee and or replay issues. Absolutely horrendous. And I'm going to spend some time talking about that as well. One of them was the precursor to what is now the longest field goal ever successfully kicked in the National Football League, the 66-yarder that Justin Tucker of the Ravens kicked that hit the crossbar, bounced over at the gun to beat the beleaguered Detroit Lions yesterday on the final play of the game. That kick never should have happened. Or at least if it did happen, it should have come from 71 yards and not from 66. And then there was a replay decision that, with all of the video evidence that is out there, it is still one of the more baffling decisions that I've ever seen come from a replay official, and it's from the Southeastern Conference in the Georgia State-Auburn game, a call that kept an Auburn drive alive when they were hanging on by the skin of their teeth, at the time leading 27-24, and a ball that clearly touched the ground. Not only was the call allowed that of a completed pass allowed to stand, but it was, in the words of the replay official, it was confirmed. It was one of the most egregious uses of replay that I have ever seen, and I have seen some, and I've actually called a game that was possibly decided by one that was as bad or maybe worse a couple of years ago. And it just feeds the fire, and I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy by any stretch of the imagination, but it just feeds more fuel on the fire that in games involving the haves and have-nots, in games in which the Power Five conferences are playing schools outside the Power Five, whether it's an FCS school or a Group of Five school or whatever the case may be, the conspiracy goes that if that game is close, the big boys are going to be protected by the guys who are running the show, either the officials on the field or the ones in the replay booth. And I got to tell you, you see the one that transpired between Georgia State and Auburn. And it's that kind of call that gets people like that fired up. It's that kind of call, or the kind of call that happened in 2019 when Furman went to Virginia Tech at the end of the game, that gets the conspiracy theorist fired up. It's those kind of calls. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I've got some solutions for that. And I've got actually one solution that I think would take care of an awful lot of the issues we see in officiating or umpiring all across the board. And to me, it's a very simple issue, and it's one of accountability. So we'll get into that when we have some time going through the show as well. The numbers, if you'd like to give us a call, and we will have some open phone segments throughout the course of the 3 hours, 844-GSP-ESPN, that's 844-477-3776, 844-477-3776, or you can hit us up on the text line with keyword ESPN to 71307, 71307, and you can weigh in with us there as well. All right, wow. We are going to step aside and take a break. As I said, this next guest is a little oddly placed, but it's the only time he could do it. But I think you're going to enjoy it because he is top-notch. National broadcaster Dave Sims will join us when we come back. I'm Dan Scott, filling in on the Rob Brown Show, and you're listening to ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is the Rob Brown Show, not hosted by Rob Brown. He chose to go on vacation during the first month of college football season. I am Dan Scott, Director of Broadcasting at Furman University. I thought I was a recovering talk show host. We can consider this a relapse, I suppose. I'll be in all week here from noon to 3, and looking forward to having some fun. The first guest that we have lined up for you today, and I said, granted, this is a little oddly placed considering the weekend of college football that we are coming off of here in the Palmetto State and around the country with all the storylines with Clemson and South Carolina. So naturally, we're going to open up talking some baseball and some other things. It's the only time that this guy could be with us. And if it was anybody else, I would say he was under some pressure because of our college football madness here. But Dave Sims ain't scared. He ain't scared of nobody or nothing. He's been around too long, and he is just too doggone good at what he does. The voice of the Seattle Mariners, longtime broadcaster Dave Sims. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Dan. Long time no speak. How are you?
It has been a while. Has been a while. How has it been being back actually in the booth calling baseball games for the Seattle Mariners this year, at least at home?
Well, we've been in the booth, you know, since the pandemic started. I mean, we've not traveled, and you know, here we come into the last week of the season. That hasn't changed. And, you know, we've made adjustments, learned how to call a game, you know, off of monitors when they're on the road, and you keep on pushing. And, you know, you get better at doing it, too. It was interesting. I mean, it's a first world problem. I mean, you know, with all the things going on in the world, the fact that I got a broadcast off a monitor, give me a break. It's not heavy lifting or anything, and nobody's life is on the line. But, yeah, you do have to make some adjustments and learn a couple things, but it's gone well.
Yeah, the flip side of that, though, is it did push you and every other broadcaster out of their comfort zone. And you said that it's something that you had to get used to and get better at.
Yeah, you know, the thing, you know, the routine, you know, baseball's so routine. They all sports are routine-oriented, but we, you know, we're 162 games in 180 days. And, you know, I'm used to traveling on the road, being on a plane, seeing the guys, hey, you know, ask a guy, hey, what do you think of this? Oh, hey, you know, whatever. Hey, got a couple seconds. Hey, you know, nice job last night. The interactions have been, or must be down about 90%. And, you know, I've been lucky probably since right after the All-Star break to catch a few guys when they're at home, when they went through the policy, we could go down to the field first without masks, now with masks. And so I literally have the 20, and we've had like 60 some guys play on the club this year. But of the current like 26, 28 guys we have right now, I still probably have not met, I don't know, 15, 18 guys.
Which, when you do this job and you do it well, whether we're talking baseball, football, whatever it is, getting that personal interaction and getting to know something about them and about their stories and some of the little things that on the surface might seem so trivial to some people, but they can lend so much to a broadcast, and now you have to find a way to either get that information in a different way or find a way to compensate because you don't have it.
Well, you compensate by, you know, hopefully having good conversations with your partner. You get, thankfully, the manager does a Zoom every day, and we generally can get some good stuff. I mean, I take notes every day on those conversations, and I usually get five or six things that I can use that, you know, are apropos to that game and talking about the previous night's game. So, you know, we're getting through it. We're getting through it.
Visiting with Dave Sims, the Seattle Mariners broadcaster. The Mariners entering the final week of the season, and I think this is probably surprising to a lot of people, at least the way quote-unquote experts thought the season was going to play out back in April. Sitting here in the final week of the season, two games out in the wild card and still a chance to get to the postseason. It's been an interesting year in Seattle, hasn't it?
Interesting, all caps, italicized, and underlined. You're darn right it has. But I mean, nobody in their right mind had us at this point, you know, being 86-70, two games out in the wild card, but still a puncher's chance here. You know, need a couple of breaks, need a couple of things. First of all, we have to win out the rest of our games and then hopefully get some help. I mean, we're, and the other thing, too, you look at the standings, we're five back and behind Houston, which has lost something like four in a row. So, you know, I've lived through a lot of crazy stuff in baseball, seen a lot of crazy stuff, read about a lot of crazy stuff. So I think this week has a chance to be added to that list.
And if you needed some inspiration, all you have to do is look into the next league where the St. Louis Cardinals have won 16 consecutive games and 11 of those on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, you know, I'm looking at the Giants are at 102 wins. The Dodgers are at 100 wins. They've had magnificent seasons. One of those teams could be a one and done when they face the Cardinals. I mean, you know, the Cardinals are super hot. Everything's working for them. And, it's going to be interesting. I had some friends. I got a friend of mine in St. Louis who's on the broadcast crew, and he's fired up. And, you know, 2 months ago, I talked to him, and he was like, yeah, we're left for dead. See you later. Nothing going on. The next thing, you know, boom.
Yeah, it's funny how this game works. That's the beauty about baseball. You play it every day, and you just never know what one little thing is going to trigger something. And you know, I'm a Reds fan, so I hate the fact that the Cardinals are doing it, but you have to tip your cap to them because it's just
absolutely
been phenomenal.
I mean, this Cincinnati was in great shape about a month and a half ago. That they made their charge, and I'm thinking, hey, well, I like the way they swing the bat. Winker got hurt. And I guess pitching must have gone south, too. And the Reds were looking really good. You know, they're still, let's see, they're at 81 wins right now. So one more win will give them a winning season, which is, you know, they're on the come. There's a lot of teams on the come right now. And they're certainly one of them. And I think, you know, our ball club is one. And I would be, you know, they, let's see, who else? San Diego, you know, they really frittered away their opportunity. They're at 500, but, you know, some improvement, maybe a managerial change. Ditto the Mets. So, I mean, there's going to be some good races as we move forward in the next couple, 3 years.
So how do you handicap what you see in the American League as far as the playoffs are concerned right now? The structure of power seems to be in the American League East with Tampa Bay, the Yankees, and Boston. If the season ended today, all in the playoffs.
Yeah, I never discount Tampa Bay these last couple of years. So, I mean, I would say they got 97 wins, and just based on that, I give them an edge. Houston, if they're healthy, get Greinke back. He's on the IL. Brantley's on the shelf right now. So if they get one or both of those guys back, that's going to make a difference for them. But I tell you, if the Mariners were to get that second wild card and have to play probably, say, the Yankees in New York, I'll take my puncher's chance on that. But, you know, we got to get there first. And the Mariners have done an unbelievable job with the bullpen, late game situations, and hitting. And the other thing that's great about the team, they catch the ball. One of the better defensive teams in the league.
Visiting with Dave Sims, the Seattle Mariners broadcaster, been doing this for a long time in many different aspects of this business. One more thing on baseball before we turn the page here just a bit. With all of the lean towards analytics and the way that's turning, and that's how Tampa Bay is doing what they do, it's interesting to see that the other two division leaders, the White Sox in the Central, Houston in the West, are both managed by old school, quote unquote, old school guys, Tony La Russa and Dusty Baker, respectively. And to me, it points out, Dave, there's just not one way to win.
No, absolutely not. And those guys, Tony, you know, and I know Dusty's a friend, and I know he and Tony don't totally ignore all the analytics, but they're not totally driven by it. I mean, they also go by you know, what they see, what they know, you know, how a guy's doing on a particular day, how, you know, certain matchups, you know, one day you might have a matchup where the numbers, you know, he's 5-for-11 with two bombs against a guy, but your hitter's in a brutal slump. I mean, you may not want to throw him in there. He may not get well against, you know, said pitcher. So, I mean, you still have to manage. You got to manage people. You got to manage situations. The numbers are great, and they're a big help, but they're not the be-all and end-all.
Dave, before we wrap it up and let you go, and appreciate your time again, as always, you did my podcast about 16 months ago. And one of the things we talked about then, and because this is a different audience, I thought it would be good to revisit for a few moments, is the disturbing trend that I see of today's athletes not understanding, knowing, or sometimes even caring about the history of the sport in which they played. And I think the story that I relayed to you was being on a baseball bus a couple of years ago, and a trivia game broke out, and I asked a question, and the answer to that was Mickey Mantle, and one of the college baseball players actually said, "Who's Mickey Mantle?"
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It's all it's. Oh my God!
Exactly. And when we talked about this, you see the same thing I do. I'm just going to let you riff on that for a second.
Well, I mean, I've seen it in the NBA. I mean, there's a couple of stories that jump out in the NBA. When I was covering the NBA, I was covering the Knicks and talking to the great Walt Frazier. I mean, name one of the 50 best, greatest players of all time, and he's been doing Knicks on TV for years. And a lot of the guys over the years didn't know that he played, or they weren't familiar with him. And nor did they come to ask him for advice. I mean, he's a, you know, just a wealth of information. The great Lenny Wilkins, Hall of Famer, as a player and a coach, one of the all-time winningest coaches. I remember now the late John, who was at Hot Rod Williams, once said to him, "Coach, you played?" "Yeah." you know, he played in Providence, played for the St. Louis Hawks, among other teams, Portland and Seattle, great player, Hall of Famer. Yeah, you got to know the history of sport. I mean, I don't think you have to necessarily know who, I don't know, maybe the 1919 Washington Senators, but the significant guys of each particular era, you got to know who the heck they are. You got to have an idea who's in the Hall of Fame in all the sports. You got to know it to have, and especially now, that stuff that we didn't have as kids, you get YouTube, you can look most of these guys up and look at video of them, or certainly pictures. And so much of this stuff is cyclical, and you can learn so much from you know, obviously from the past. I mean, you got to have an historical bent if you're going to be an athlete, whether it be college. I mean, I'm sure at Clemson, you know, you better know. I would think you'd need to know my buddy Jeff Bostic. You know, 3 Super Bowls with the Washington Redskins, played on some great Clemson teams. I mean, you got to know who Danny Ford is. I mean, you got to know who the heck who came before you. I mean, it's inexcusable that guys that's really scary to somebody to know who Mickey Mantle was. I mean, and the other thing too, and I think I mentioned this last time we talked, I never want to hear the phrase "that was before my time." I mean, as a friend of mine told me years ago, Art Russ Jr. was a great sports talk show host in New York, and a friend of mine, and I competed against him when I was at WNBC doing sports talk at night. And a guy called up and said something about a boxer, and this caller said, "Well, he was before my time." And Art said, "Hey, Lincoln was before your time. Read a book."
But that's a great response. And as we get set to wrap it up here, I think the way that we kind of couched this when we did this the podcast last year, you had just finished a roundtable discussion with a group of African-American players, current and past, with the Seattle Mariners, which is still available on YouTube. And we were talking about the impact of Jackie Robinson and wondering if today's athlete really understands exactly what Jackie Robinson did and the opportunities it has afforded them.
Well, I think the knowledge base has been certainly accentuated by the fact that, you know, we have Jackie Robinson Day every April 15th. So, I mean, you'd have to be a complete idiot not to know anything about him, given the exposure that is given to Mr. Robinson on that day, leading up to that day and following up on that day. So I don't think that's so much an issue, but I mean, you should, you know, there's so many great stories and great lessons to be learned from what he went through and how he persevered. I mean, he's one of the great Americans of all time, for crying out loud. And I, you know, white or black, you need to know who the heck he was.
I couldn't agree with you more. Listen, I know it's early out there on the left coast. We'll let you go.
It's not that early. It's only a little bit after 9. It's not that bad. I've been up for a while.
but still, I understand. Dave, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
You bet, Dan. Hey, all the best, and stay in good health.
Yeah, you too, buddy. That is Dave Sims, the Seattle Mariners broadcaster. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show, hosted by yours truly, Dan Scott, here on ESPN Upstate, and we'll be back with more in this first hour right after this. Coming up in hour number 2, Tim Brando at the top. And in the second half of the hour, Jamie Chadwell, the head coach of the number 16-ranked Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, who just announced, I saw just a moment ago, an upcoming 3-game series with the University of Virginia. So that'll be something for us to talk about with Jamie Chadwell. I remember him and did several interviews with him in my previous life, when he was the head football coach at North Greenville University. So he has made quite the impressive climb and has the Chanticleers flying high, pun intended. I'm Dan Scott, filling in for Rob Brown here on ESPN Upstate, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Or you can hit us up on the text line, keyword ESPN, 71307, 71307. Our thanks to Dave Sims for joining us in the last segment. Let's turn our attention now, and for a good stretch of time, to the world of college football. And I want to start with Clemson falling to 2-2 after their overtime loss at North Carolina State on Saturday, 27-21, double overtime loss. And the college football playoff, barring just an incredible amount of teams going into the tank over the course of the next couple of, well, the next few weeks, the college football playoffs are off the table. Still in contention for an ACC championship, but obviously this is not the kind of season that Clemson fans have come to expect. It's not the kind of season to this point through 4 games that Dabo Swinney and his staff have come to expect. And as you might imagine, we're a team that's been to the college football playoffs, what, six times in the first 7 years or five in the first six, whatever the number is. There's a lot of unhappy people wearing orange right now, and specifically because of the way the offense has performed, or more specifically, not performed. And all of the attention, or most of it anyway, focuses on quarterback DJ Uiagalelei and offensive coordinator Tony Elliott. Quarterback is the lightning rod. He is going to get much more praise when the team does well than maybe he deserves, and he's going to get much more blame than he deserves sometimes when they lose. Sometimes that praise is warranted. Sometimes the criticism is warranted. And I think this is one of those times where a good deal of criticism on the play of this young quarterback is warranted. But I think if you watch what has happened with the offense, it's not just him. We talked with Dave Glenn, who's covered the ACC for more than 30 years, last week on a podcast that I do. And he said that he would put about 50% of it at the feet of the quarterback and about 50% elsewhere. They have not been good at the on the offensive line. Their wide receivers have underperformed. And running backs, while there is talent there, or has been, now Will Shipley's out for about 4 weeks and Lynjay Dixon has decided to enter the transfer portal, that area has not performed up to snuff. But again, you have to think about it. When you're losing one of the best running backs in the history of the ACC, and that's not hyperbole, Travis Etienne, and one of the best quarterbacks in recent memory in the history of the ACC, maybe all time, those guys are going to be hard to replace. And I think Clemson fans got a little bit spoiled when they went from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence. And if anything, the level of play not only stayed the same, but it may have ticked up a notch at times. You can't expect that to happen all the time. But I will say this. I think the questions are legit when it comes to what has happened to this guy. What's happened to DJ Uiagalelei? Because this is the same guy who started against Notre Dame last year, and Clemson lost that game, but he threw for over 400 yards and ran around like a madman. He was unstoppable. It's not been the same guy for whatever reason. Is it the offensive line? Is it the wide receivers? Is it the running back? Is it the play calling? All of these things, I think, play some role in this. But I don't think there's any question that this young man has not played as well as expected. But Dabo Swinney said some things in his teleconference yesterday with the Clemson media that I found, honestly, I found very refreshing, because I think that he has what Dave Glenn called a big picture view of things. And number one, the sky is not falling. That this program is not reverting back to the way it was when he took over in 2008 and 2009. The foundation of this program, the elevation of this program, the expectations of this program are not changing. You are not seeing the disintegration of the program. You're seeing a hiccup of a year, but you're not seeing a program that's taking a huge step backwards. This happens from time to time with the best programs. And make no mistake, Clemson has been, for the most part, for about the last 7 or 8 years, one of the two best programs in all of college football consistently, they and Alabama. But he reminded everyone through his teleconference yesterday that just because you've had that kind of success and just because of the way the program has been elevated and the foundation has been laid and the two national championships in recent years have been won, just because all of that has happened, you are not, as a Clemson Tiger player and the Clemson program as an entity, entitled to be in the college football playoffs. You're not entitled to play for a national championship. You're not entitled to win an Atlantic Coast Conference championship. You have to go out and earn those things. And the thing that I like best that he said, on top of that statement that you're not entitled to any of this, is the fact that this is going to be one of the best teaching moments that these young men are ever going to have. That they're going to learn that just because you have Clemson on the front of your jersey and the Tiger paw on your helmet, that does not mean that you are automatically going to just roll the football out there and the opposition is going to cower in fear. The league as a whole has been shooting at Clemson for almost a decade now. I mean, you have to put this into perspective. This run that Clemson has been on in the ACC is second only to the run that Florida State had when they came into this conference back in the early 90s, and they won 70 of their first 72 conference games. 70 out of 72. You get spoiled as a fan, and maybe you get a little bit complacent as a player. We'll finish this thought when we come back with a short segment to the top of the hour, and then Tim Brando in hour number two. Rob Brown Show, co-hosted, or guest hosted rather, by Dan Scott. Back in a moment. Sadly, it seems I am accustomed to doing what we're getting ready to do here, and that is going beyond the time limits, being chastised by my producer, Lonzo, the All-American, and telling me that we had less than a minute before we have to get right back to commercial and the top of the hour break. But when we come back from that, it'll be worth your while because Tim Brando from Fox Sports is going to join us, and we're going to talk some college football with him as well. That's coming up in hour number two. Dan Scott in for Rob Brown. Lonzo on the controls. This is ESPN Upstate. Hour number two coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.